Akiran, this is Saman Asketti. Today I'm talking with Lior Sternfeld. He's a social historian of the modern Middle East with a particular interest in the histories of the Jewish populations of the region. He's also an assistant professor of history and Jewish studies at Penn State University and is the author of the book Between Iran and Zion, Jewish Histories of 20th Century Iran, which offers a history of the Iranian Jewish population over the course of the last century, from the 1905 Constitutional Revolution through the 1979 Islamic Revolution. Lior and I talk about the 2,700-year history of the Iranian Jewish population, focusing mostly on the 20th century, and the misperceptions of the lives of Jews in Iran. We also talk about how Iranian Jews became a prominent community within Iran during the course of the 20th century, whether Iranian Jews identify primarily as Jewish or Iranian, the difference between the Jewish population of Iran and those of other Middle Eastern countries, the status of Jews under the Islamic Republic, the Iranian Jewish populations in Israel and the United States, and other related topics. So without further ado, let's listen into my conversation with Lior Sternfeld. So let's start with your background, what you studied, what you do now, and what made you want to write a book on the Iranian Jewish population.
I started my academic training in 2003. I went for undergrad to Ben Gurion University in Israel. I studied Jewish history and Middle Eastern studies. I, in my last year of undergrad, had to write a seminar on any Middle Eastern country. So I had two of these classes. I chose one on Morocco and one on Iran, thinking that Morocco is a place that I can visit and Iran is a place I want to know more about. and then Iran dragged me into studying more and more. And I wrote my master thesis on Mossadegh and the National Movement. And then I was planning on studying my PhD. I was planning on studying the movement of Mossadegh in relations to other Middle Eastern countries. So to place Iran in the region, in the Middle East, because there is this connect between the Arab Middle East and Iran and Israel and Turkey, and like each one has become its own field. And I wanted to look at it in one broad picture. And to be honest, the field of Jewish studies in the Middle East, when I was getting my undergrad and master's, it was not an exciting field, to say the least. It was, especially the history of Iranian Jews, was pretty boring. All we could hear about or read about was centuries of persecution and harassment and anti-Semitism and waiting for the Zionist redemption. And this is it. This is the 2,700 years of Iranian history.
So what is the general perception in Israel about Iranian Jews in terms of what people think, how they are being treated in Iran, for example?
I mean, people have this perception, and I'm here excluding the Iranian Jews, the Jews of Iranian heritage in Israel. But overall, Israelis believe that Iranian Jews are locked behind Iron Curtain.
I see.
And they are waiting for the chance to immigrate to Israel and to redeem themselves, right?
I see.
And when you make them look beyond their very shallow understanding, there's this kind of pushback that, all right, they say what they say because they have to say it, which is not entirely wrong. But I mean, but again, history is much more nuanced than that.
Right, right. That doesn't give the entire picture, right?
Right. It actually gives very slim part of the Iranian Jewish experience. And but for me, as a person with no personal history in Iran, no family history in Iran, and everything I got was from the very few academic books that were out there and very few non-academic books out there, there is no credible Iranian Jewish history book that tells you, that gives you a story other than the one that is written from the Zionist perspective. And as I told you, I went into grad school knowing that I'm going to study the movement of Mossadegh. And my last seminar in grad school, I decided to, for one last time, write about Jews. And then I came across the story of the Jews during the revolution of 79. Mm-hmm. And I said, okay, this is what I've been waiting for. This is what I've been looking for, to see something that is contradicting the history that I've heard of and learned about, to see Iranian Jews as part of the broader Iranian society.
Yeah.
And I wrote this, I wrote an article on the Jews of the revolution. And then it opened a whole new field for me.
So let's pull back a little bit. Jewish people have lived in Iran for, you know, thousands of years. Can you give us a distilled history up until the 20th century of, you know, where did Iranian Jews come from? How long have they lived there? Why Iran?
The story of the Iranian Jews is actually, it begins 2,700 years ago with the Babylonian exile. Now, the funny anecdote is that almost every Iranian Jew, when you ask them to tell about their own family history, it begins 2,700 years ago. So when I traveled to Paris a couple of years ago for my last interviews for this book, I interviewed Dariush Ashuri, the political lexicographer. And he asked me what I'm writing about, and I told him I'm writing about the Jews in the 20th century. And he said, what about the other 2,600 history? History. So the community established itself in Iran 2,700 years ago. And, you know, like in every other place in the world where Jews lived, there were times that they fared better than other times. There were times of harassment and persecution. It's interesting to learn that Jews actually welcomed the Islamic conquest of Iran, because they suffered greatly under the Zoroastrian clergy harassment.
Oh, wow. Interesting.
So Jews actually felt relief, because under Islam they were a protected minority, and it opened new path for them to be part of the Iranian nation.
So you mentioned various times where they were persecuted and so on. So how did this persecution compare to the sort of pogroms that Jewish people were experiencing in Europe, for example?
It's a very different type of persecution and harassment. We don't see the same kind of level of pogroms anywhere in the Middle East. Like, the Middle East is not on the same level of anti-Semitic harassment as Eastern Europe, or Russia, or Poland, or Ukraine, or Germany. Germany until the 19th century. What we do see is more of discrimination against Jews in terms of purity, in terms of state laws. You know, that there is, we always talk about the Pact of Omar as the foundational document in the relations between Jews and Muslims. What we have to remind ourselves is that the Pact of Omar was enforced only part of the time, and by only a few of the leaders in Islamic history. The protected status of Jews, even though it was lower than Muslims, Jews and Christians fared relatively well in the Middle East.
Hmm. Did they generally live better lives than Jews in Russia or Europe?
I mean, it's a tough comparison, but I would say that broadly speaking, generally speaking, yes, they lived better. They were part of their general society in ways that European Jews had to wait until the late 19th century to be part of. I mean, the kind of integration or assimilation that European Jews got only in the mid-19th century, I think that it was pretty standard for the Middle Eastern Jews from the Middle Ages on.
I see. So let's talk about the 20th century. there was a lot of transformation across Iranian society as a whole, right? You had the Qajar dynasty that started the 20th century, and then you had the Constitutional Revolution, the Pahlavi dynasty came onto the scene, and then 1979, obviously, we had the Islamic Revolution. How did the Jewish population fare under these various ruling dynasties and upheavals in the 20th century?
Broadly speaking, the 19th century was a time of improvement for the Iranian Jews. I mean, the Qajar dynasty was trying, for many reasons, was trying to attend to the needs of the Jews in better way. Part of the reasons was because they wanted better relations with the European superpowers that took some kind of responsibility over the religious minorities. But again, we saw that there were different experiences, even in Iran at the same time, between different communities. So the Jews of Tehran were relatively better off than the Jews of Burjord. In Luristan, the situation was different from other parts of the country. So, I mean, there is not just one Jewish Iranian experience over the 19th century. This is why the Jews were very welcoming of the Constitutional Revolution. Because for them, it was a great promise. They are going to become legally equal to their Muslim compatriots. For the first time, there were citizens in Iran, right? It was no longer imperial subjects. All of them became citizens. So there was a great promise, which, I mean, and this is a dynamic of revolutions. They don't always, or they almost never, deliver the promises in the short term. Mm-hmm. And then there was great disillusion. And Jews were starting to look at the other options. And one of the options was Zionism. But then, and we're talking about 1917 after the Balfour Declaration, but then 1925, Reza Shah becomes the new Shah. Reza Pahlavi becomes the new Shah. And his vision for Iran was again very appealing to the Iranian Jews. So we see them shifting again towards Iranian nationalism.
How was it appealing for Iranian Jews, his vision?
That's a great question. It was more appealing because what Reza Shah emphasized was the Persian ethnicity, the Persian language, diminished role of religion. Mm. And Iranian Jews always took pride for being a minority that has no other language than Persian. So they could see themselves as fitting right into the new nation-building project of Reza Pahlavi.
So do Iranian Jews identify primarily as Iranian or Jewish?
It's interchangeable, sure. But I think that Iran is their primary identity.
I see. Interesting. Is that part of the reason why to this day Iran obviously has the biggest Jewish population outside of Israel in the Middle East?
I think that it's certainly part of it. But, you know, Iraqi Jews consider themselves Iraqis as well. Hmm. But in Iraq, they could not stay. They were forced out. Iran never forced out the Jewish community.
You've talked about the disparities between the status and the wealth that the Jewish population enjoyed in the 1940s. Compared to the 1970s, the late 1970s in particular. What happened during that period that allowed them to flourish in a sense?
Part of it was, again, the new opportunities that were opened for them because of the nation-building project of Reza Pahlavi and then Mohammad Reza Pahlavi. The legal barriers were removed. Another thing that happened was that in 1948, the State of Israel was established. And about 20,000 Iranian Jews immigrated to Israel. Now, these were the poorest and the neediest of Iranian Jews. So, in a way, the moment that they left, it already elevated the status of the Iranian Jews because they didn't have to attend to the needs of the poorest and neediest of their communities. So it became much more urban community. or communities in plural. We see them coming to the big cities, to Tehran, to Isfahan, to Shiraz. Another thing was that they, because of their the Jewish education in Iran, was very multicultural, multilingual. And the major economic development of Iran, they found themselves in a good position to start companies of export-import, bringing new technologies. At the same time, we see the biggest pharmaceutical companies being developed by Iranian Jews. The biggest plastic company in Iran in the 1960s was Habib Elkanian's Plasco. So, I mean, they really took advantage of the geopolitical development of Iran, the educational training that they got in terms of languages and cultural studies, and also the relations with Israel, that Iran and Israel were close allies. Many Israeli companies worked in Iran in the agricultural technologies fields, in the military industrial companies. And whenever they needed representatives in Iran, they usually took engineers and highly trained employees among the Iranian Jews. So the relationship with Israel actually became a vehicle of social mobility for many Iranian Jews.
I see. So what contributed to the educational system that the Jews enjoyed? Was it Iranian society that helped build these schools or institutions? Or was it, for example, the connection that the Jewish people had to other Jewish communities outside of Iran that helped them?
It was a mix of the two.
I see.
It was a mix of the two. First of all, it was certainly the foundations, the infrastructure for this educational network was laid by organizations such as the Alliance Israelite Universelle, which is a Jewish-French organization that was very active in the Middle East and North Africa, providing very high level of education to Jews in these areas, but also the kind of commitment that Iranian Jews felt towards Iran in terms of getting the highest proficiency of the Persian level, of the Persian language, right? Writing in Persian. They have really romantic relations with the language. And also this is part of their identity, that they consider themselves to be Iranians. And this is the major attachment.
What makes Iranian people more accepting of Jewish people despite religious differences and despite cultural differences? And is this attributable to Iranian culture itself?
If I have to break down, I'd say that it has two parts. One would be that Israel and Iran were never in a direct conflict. And this is something that most of the Arab countries surrounding Israel, Egypt, Syria, Lebanon, Jordan were always, they had direct conflict with Israel. Iran was never in direct conflict with Israel. But also there is the cultural thing, that the cultural tension, I'd call it, between Iran and the Arabs.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And I think that in that level, Iranians find it easier to relate to the Jews than to the Arabs. If they can, and again, I really don't like to make these broad statements, but I think that the fact that Jews were perceived to be more European, and this goes also to the days of the Shah, the Jews considered to be more Europeans, and the Shah and Iran always wanted to consider itself to be more European. I think that it helped to establish this kind of relationship that are more respectful than other places.
So I'm curious, what are some of the characteristics of Iranian Jews that are distinguishable from other Jewish communities in terms of culture or way of life or whatever it may be? I don't know.
First of all, look, the biggest distinction between Iranian Jews and other Middle Eastern Jews is that Iran was able to keep its Jewish community after 1948. And not only that, it was also the only community in the Middle East that actually kept growing, and not just shrinking in size, but also it was growing. It became more diverse than ever before because there were many Iraqi Jews that moved to Iran. There were Polish Jews that were living in Iran. So it became bigger and more diverse. Another thing was that because of the Israel-Palestine conflict and the Israeli-Arab wars, many Jews from the Arab countries had to basically turn their back against their culture because they did not want to identify themselves with the culture of the enemy. And Iranian Jews in that way were spared of this melting pot because Iran was not an enemy. And so they were able to, I mean, it was still part of the categories of the Mizrahi Jews, the Middle Eastern Jews, but they had more space to navigate in that relationship with their previous homeland.
So let's talk about life under the Islamic Republic. Obviously, the perception out there is that there's probably no Jews that can survive in Iran. You know, anti-Semitism runs rampant. We had the comments and the sentiments coming from the likes of, you know, Mahmoud Ahmadinejad, and that the perception in the global community is one of great enmity between Jewish people and the Iranian state, at least, right? Can you break down the current status of Jewish people under the Islamic Republic today?
So, yeah, let me start by saying something that I keep saying a lot. And this is, Iran is probably the only country in the world that actually makes a differentiation between Judaism and Zionism. Iran has great animosity with Israel as the Zionist state, but this is something that goes back to the early days of Khomeini as the supreme leader, when he said, our enemies, Israel is our enemy, Zionism is our enemy, Iranian Jews are our brothers and sisters. And this is not to say that there is no anti-Semitism in Iran and there is no discrimination. It's not easy to be an Iranian, period, and it's even harder to be a minority in Iran. And, you know, in the bottom of this ladder, we have the Baha'is that are not recognized as minority at all. So, I mean, Iran is a complicated place, and we have to look at the many complexities. But even, you know, you mentioned Ahmadinejad, that, I mean, his Holocaust denial was despicable. But even he, when he was asked in an interview, what would you say if your daughter brought in a Jewish husband? And he said, like, if he's a good man, I would welcome him.
Wow. So, I didn't know that.
Yeah, it's an interview that he gave, I think, to Charlie Rose back in the day when he was still the president. He said, we have regional conflict with Israel, but we are not anti-Semites. And this sentiment was a much more amplified after the elections of Hassan Rouhani. I think that he took it as a personal mission to get the Jews closer to the state in terms of to feel more welcomed by their government. And in 2015 or 2014, they unveiled a monument commemorating the Jewish fallen soldiers in the Iran-Iraq War.
Oh, wow.
And in the ceremony, there were many people from the parliament and the revolutionary regime. So, I mean, and this is something that, especially now under the presidency of Rouhani, I think the Jews get more of these gestures. And these are not just empty gestures. These are significant to the Jewish community there. Look, even with everything, we have to look at what facts on the ground. The fact is that Iranian Jews, every morning, they choose to stay in Iran. They can leave at any given moment, but they choose to stay in Iran. They choose to stay despite the difficulties.
So are they mostly Israeli-Iranian dual citizens?
No, no, you cannot be dual
Oh,
citizen.
you can't be. I see.
No, they are Iranian, period. They have no other citizenship. But if they choose to go to Israel, they can immigrate to Israel and get citizenship instantaneously. If they choose to move to the US, they can immigrate and get permanent residency again in the same day. So they have options. This is something that they choose to do. They choose to stay in Iran.
So the number is usually mentioned at around 30,000. Is that a reliable statistic?
30,000 seems a bit too high. The official numbers are around 10,000, and it's too low. I think that from the numbers that the Jewish community has, I think that about 20 to 25 would be a good estimate. 20 to 25,000.
But then there are considerably large communities outside of Iran of Persian Jews as well, namely in Israel and the United States. I grew up in Los Angeles, so I had Iranian Jewish friends, and they have a large community there. But let's talk about Persian Jews or Iranian Jews in Israel. How many of them live there? Do they self-identify as Persian? What is the general population's perception of them? What do they do in society? Are there particular professions that they are associated with, and so on?
So I think that today the number of Iranians of first, second, and third generation is about 200,000,
I see.
and it's a, I would say that it's a pretty assimilated community. They are visible for sure, and in the last decade there was a time that the president of Israel was Iranian Jew, the chief of staff of the IDF was a Persian Jew. There were a few ministers and members of the Knesset of Iranian origins, so it was considered to be the golden age of Iranian Jews in Israel.
When was this?
In the early 2000s, and
Ah.
then the president Moshe Katsav was turned out to be rapist, and he went to prison.
Jesus. Yeah.
So.
My goodness.
So he's not, his legacy is no longer celebrated, but I would say, I mean, there are places in Israel, there are places that are considered to be of higher concentration of Iranian Jews, such as in Tel Aviv, there is a district that is called Little Tehran, and you can find all the Iranian stores there and all the Iranian music that you want to hear. There's another cultural center in Holon, which is a suburb of, it's kind of a suburb of Tel Aviv. And I mean, I think that today Iranian Jews in Israel maybe they have greater role in diffusing tensions between the Israeli public and the Iranian threat,
How so?
because many of them have relatives in Iran. And they don't buy the story of an existential threat of Iran to Israel. They have relatives in Iran. They see the relatives coming to visit Israel and go back to Iran. They celebrate the Persian culture, the Iranian culture. Many of them, even if they don't speak Persian, they are certainly fond of Persian and maintain the kitchen vocabulary. So I mean, it's an important community. They play important role today in the Israel society in many ways. Of course, that Los Angeles is a totally different story. I mean, there the Iranian communities, the Iranian Jewish communities is very influential and very rich and very Iranian. It's a very Iranian community, and they could connect with their Iranian with the Persian heritage in much stronger bond than the Israeli Iranians could ever do in Tel Aviv.
Yeah, because they live alongside the other Iranians, right?
Yeah, and in a society that is by definition multicultural.
Yeah, exactly. So 200,000 is the global number, right?
No, I mean, again, we are talking about first and second and third generation. of Iranian Jews. I think that in Los Angeles, the number is about 60,000 of Iranian Jews. And there's a big community in Long Island, New York.
Right, right.
And a few European communities as well.
Well, Lior, this has been very fascinating. Thanks again for your time. And I know you're busy in Boston with the conference and everything. So it's much appreciated.
My pleasure.
All right. Thanks for listening. I hope you found that episode to be productive and interesting. If you did, please share it with your family and friends and review the podcast on iTunes or any of the other platforms. And stay tuned for a lot more great guests coming up. Thanks and take care.